WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
When Russell Jacoby was coming of age in the early 60s, he read many of the leading intellectuals of the time. These intellectuals had a public forum in popular magazines. Their books were frequently bestsellers. But today, Jacoby is concerned that no intellectuals from his generation have emerged to take their place. In his new book, The Last Intellectuals, American Culture in the Age of Academe, Jacoby says that today's younger intellectuals speak only to each other in a specialized academic language that most people find incomprehensible. He says there's a vacancy in our culture, no public intellectual leadership or lively debate.
I am talking about a species of intellectuals, someone who speaks to a large audience, who tries to write in a public idiom. That is, who tries to write in a way that the educated audience can understand, as opposed to a technical writing, as opposed to a more insular kind of prose.
Who are the people who you consider to be the last great public intellectuals?
Well, that's a bit a loaded question, but I do identify intellectuals who I'm calling almost the last intellectuals, those who matured in the 1950s. People like Kenneth Galbraith, people like Irving Howe, people like C. Wright Mills, even. The classic intellectuals I'm calling are people like Edmund Wilson and Lewis Mumford. And the problem, which I guess we will get to, is that I don't see successors to them.
What has convinced you that there are no longer any public intellectuals?
Well, you're making it sound a little more definitive than I have stated it. I simply have tried to examine the various forms of cultural expression. Take literary criticism. One can see a tradition which goes out through Lionel Trilling, and then one sees afterwards specialists of various types. Once you can ask people, who are the leading younger literary critics today? Well, most of the answers will be people who are not generally known outside of English departments or comparative literature departments. And this is true almost in every field of economics, sociology, and philosophy.
What about someone like James Wolcott, who's writing for a magazine, Vanity Fair, and is, you know, I think, and is generally considered to be a very, very, very important, really deep-thinking, also humorous literary critic?
There are contenders. I mean, there certainly are, and this has been one of the things that reviewers have hit me on. They say, well, what about the following people?
Yeah.
And when you're dealing in broad cultural generalizations, I am not presenting an ironclad case. There are no public intellectuals. I think there isn't a generation of younger intellectuals. And this is particularly ironic because it's partially the 60s generation, which once was so visible, and yet intellectually as a generation, it seems almost invisible.
Let's look at some of the causes that you suggest are responsible for the shortage of a younger generation of intellectuals. One of the causes is that you think Bohemia is disappearing, like Bohemia's like Greenwich Village are disappearing.
Right. That the urban geography, the habitat for American intellectuals, which was traditionally Bohemia in not simply New York, but Chicago, San Francisco, even Los Angeles, as well as other cities, that due to the transformation of the cities, Bohemia is no longer a possible living spot. I mean, one either needs a fat income or subsidies or whatnot. That is, it would be simply suicide for a young intellectual to say, I am going to move to New York or San Francisco and write book reviews and live in an apartment. But I think it is the urban geography is certainly one part of the story which has herded younger intellectuals away from the cities to the campuses.
Now, you've given up on college campuses as far as being a center for intellectuals that speak to the public. You've taught at many of them.
Yeah.
But what are some of your gripes with colleges now?
Well, perhaps you're being harsher than I am. I haven't given up. I can see that the younger intellectuals, which once were in cities and bohemias, are now on campuses. And this has affected the kind of writing, the kind of thinking they have done. So that, ironically, you do have many more intellectuals today in the sense of people who are concerned with reading and writing, but you have less public intellectuals because the academic intellectuals are oriented towards specialties, towards their profession, which has diverted them from larger issues.
I would propose that a lot of today's intellectuals are writing for newspapers, magazines, and that they're writing in places that you wouldn't expect to find, quote, intellectuals, that they're writing film criticism and rock criticism and articles about sexual politics.
Right. I half agree. Perhaps I more than half agree. Certainly, if you look at the gamut of journalism, there are intellectuals everywhere. But again, I'm taking a certain type intellectual who do reach out to a larger public. And even though it's true, and I think it is, it's all to the good that there are people active in a series of specialties and areas, it still doesn't add up. Their audiences are smaller.
But if their audiences are smaller, isn't that because of the way culture has become more specialized? That it's not a fault of their thinking or of their writing necessarily.
I think
the publishing industry has changed. Doesn't that have something to do
with
it?
Yes. I don't want to sound like a moralizer. That is, I'm not simply indicting either academic intellectuals or journalists. The point is they, and in that sense, we are responding to a transformation of culture. Nevertheless, I don't believe that it's a one-way street. They say we must shrug our shoulders and say, well, the audience has shifted, the cultural industries have shifted, and we must shift with them.
I wonder if you're maybe looking too much for something that's a facsimile of the old voices that you're talking about. For instance, one of the people who I'd consider to be one of the great thinkers of the younger generation would be Art Spiegelman, who's really a comic book artist and writer. He did the book Mouse and edits the comic anthology Roar. But what he does is a terrific commentary on the human condition. But if you're going to compare him to John Kenneth Galbraith, I mean, they're not speaking in the same kind of voice. They're not using the same kind of forum. But that doesn't make Spiegelman any less worthy of our time. Do you know what I mean? Or any less important to read? If you see what I mean.
I see perfectly what you mean, but I don't think it's either or. Which is to say, yes, there are cartoonists, there are rock critics, which perhaps is more vital than ever. And yet, if you say that sort of an old-style intellectual life is disappearing, I don't think these completely replace it.
But I really think that you're letting a kind of generational bias interfere here. For me, for instance, Ellen Willis's essays on feminism were much more important than Betty Friedan's. And, you know, as powerfully felt, you know, brilliantly written, and more meaningful to me and probably many women in my generation.
But see, that may be a generational bias as well, because Ellen Willis...
But you're talking about a younger generation, so...
Yes, but I'm saying Ellen Willis, she continues to write, but she would be an example that, yes, talented, good writer, and yet also has not quite, you know, made the transition to something larger. And I think this is true. And I speak, you know, as part of the story, not as above it or, exempt from it.
Have you gotten calls from writers around the country who want to nominate themselves as part of the new breed of intellectuals?
Yes. Well, this is many people respond very defensively, like, you know, what about me and my friends? Aren't we the people? And I responded as I responded. First of all, there can be exceptions. It's not a total argument. On the other hand, if you actually look at them, I don't think it adds up to a generational presence.
Russell Jacoby's new book is titled The Last Intellectuals, American Culture in the Age of Academe.